Today, as you have a seat, get your Bible and go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. We're still in verse number 2, and we're still in the first part of verse number 2. We're going to be taking a look at some things today. And if you remember, we have been in verse number 2 for 2 weeks already, and this is our third week in the first part of verse number 2. Remember, we talked about the steadfast word of the Lord, talked about the word of God being the same, that it's unchangeable, it's immovable. And it is steadfast, and how to get that word into our lives. And then last week, Pastor Jim brought a message called When You Speak the Word. And he talked about some things, and we'll remember some of those in a moment. And today we're talking about When You Speak the Word, part number 2. This is part number 2 of When You Speak the Word. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 2 says, "For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast." And if you remember, we talked about the word spoken. Talked about the fact that when we encounter the word of God, that God is the one that speaks the word. And then we find out that Jesus is the word, and Jesus spoke the word while he was on the planet. We found out that angels brought the word of the Lord, and it proved steadfast, as we see in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. That the prophets of God throughout the years proclaimed the word of God. And also the apostles who came afterwards declared the word of God. They spoke the word of God. They rehearsed the scriptures. They spoke them out of their mouths. And therefore, we saw that if all of these people and all of these beings, God the Father and God the Son and the holy angels, the prophets and the apostles, if all of them are speaking the word of God, how much should we be speaking the word of God in our lives? And if you remember, we talked about some of the benefits and what happens when we speak the word and why we need to speak the word. And we found out, number one, that it brings us to a place of maturity. If you remember, we talked about that from the book of James, that it makes us into a perfect man, that we're able to bridle the whole body when we speak the word, that man linked up with the Spirit of God can become what is called perfect or complete, lacking nothing, or also mature, that you are raised up to a mature level in Jesus Christ when you speak the word. Second thing we found out last week is that it builds confidence in us, that there is a boldness that comes over you when you speak the word of God. I believe the reason why is because it's no longer your word, and you no longer have to be the one that puts forth the effort for the results. No, now you're speaking the word of God, and God backs his promises in your life, and he is the one that takes care of making sure it comes to pass. Finally, we found out, number 3, that it changes my world. When you speak the word of God, it literally goes forward, and it changes the world that you live in. We're going to discuss that more today as we go on in today's message. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, second gospel in the New Testament, Mark chapter number 4, we're going to take a look at what happens when we speak the word. Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been speaking some parables. Mark chapter 4, we're going to start in verse number 26 and read through verse number 29. Mark chapter 4, 26 says these words. It says, "And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So today, as we read through this parable of Jesus, this is an earthly story with a heavenly illustration. We're going to find out some things about speaking the word. Now, some of you may be sitting there and kind of wondering, well, Pastor Dan, wait a second. If we're talking about speaking the word, why are we talking about a seed that is sown into the ground? Why are we talking about a farmer? What is the correlation? What's going on here? Well, Jesus, remember, had been speaking some parables, and he spoke a parable of a sower, talked about a seed that was sown into the ground, and talked about 4 different kinds of hearts. And he told his disciples that if you can unlock this parable, if you can understand this parable of the sower, then you can unlock or understand the other parables as well. So with that in mind, we find out that here there is a man who is sowing seed into the ground. Now, back to the parable of the sower, Jesus explained that one. He said, the sower sows the word. So here's somebody who is sowing seed. They are taking their seed and they are scattering it on the ground. So we know that this person is sowing the word. They are speaking the word of God and they are casting forth the word of God. Now in our day, we think of sowing seed like this. We think of a big machine and it's got seeds inside of it. And one by one, it plants one seed here, one seed there, one seed here, one seed there. But in this day, what they would do is they would prepare their field. They would plow these lines in the ground. They would get ready. And then somebody would put a bag, a big bag over their shoulder, and they had it right here. And what they would do is they would reach their hand in, and there they would have their grain or their seed that they were going to sow. And when they would sow, they would grab handfuls of this seed, and then they would cast it out from where they're at. They would send it out this way, they would send it out that way, they would send it in front of them, they would send it on all sides of them as they walked, and they would just scatter seed. They would cast that seed out from where they're at and walk through their field, and they would scatter seed. Okay? Now, the next verse comes along, and it says that he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Now, let me ask you a question right here. Does God know how the seed grows? Okay, let me try it again. Let's wake ourselves up. Here we go. Does God know how the seed grows? Yes, he does. So that means that this sower in this parable is not God. Are you understanding that? Because God knows how the seed grows. We don't know how the seed grows. So the man in this parable is not God, but rather it's us. It's you and I. The sower goes out to scatter seed, and he falls asleep at night, and the seed grows. He himself does not know how. Let's read on. Verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. Now we'll come back to those three things in a moment. We'll discuss them in more length. Verse 29, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to reap. I like those times of receiving. I like those times when my prayers have been answered and finally I've reached at a destination. But in order to get to those times, there has to be some seed that's scattered. There has to be seed that's sown. Something has to take place in order for us to get to that end result of harvest. Today, I want to teach you the lessons that we learn from the growing seed. If you're going to reach the destination that God has for you in your life, you're going to have to do some things with the seed that God has given you. This Bible that you hold in your hands is your seed bag. It is the container. It is this pouch that you have. And if you have a situation in your life, you're going to have to go into your seed bag. You're going to have to find the scriptures. Many times I tell people, find a scripture. Listen, today I'm not telling you find one scripture. I'm telling you to find as many scriptures as you can. Because if you are going to scatter seed, you're going to have handfuls, you're going to have more than enough, and you're going to have to scatter those seeds out onto the ground in front of you. What does that mean? That means you're going to have to speak them out from your mouth. Remember, we're talking about today when you speak the word. The lessons we learn from the growing seed. Number one, we find it in verse number 28, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade. Number one thing, the lesson we learn from the growing seed is first the blade. What does that mean? That means speak the word. You can't just read the word alone in order to scatter seed. No, you have to speak it out loud out of your mouth. When you find those promises of God in your seed bag, when you find it in the Bible, and you go and you get ready to scatter seed, you can't just think them. You can't just write them down. No, you have to gather those seeds and then you have to speak them out of your mouth. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because first the blade. The word of God is likened in the Bible into a sharp, double-edged sword. The Bible tells us later in the book of Hebrews. Also, the spiritual armor that you find. Paul says, putting on the whole armor of God, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. First, the blade. If you are going to speak the word of God, then the blade will come out. First, that blade protrudes from your mouth. If you look in the book of Revelation, Jesus comes, and when John sees Jesus, he has a sharp double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. What is that? That is the word of the Lord that is coming forth from his mouth. Church, you and I can't just think it, can't just read it, even though we need to read it and even though we need to think about it. If we are going to see results in our life, if we're going to scatter the seed, it has to come off of our lips. It has to come off of our tongue. We have to speak audibly the word of God. You say, well, Pastor, isn't that like, you know, that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it type of a theology, that type of mentality? Absolutely it is. And listen, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for the apostles, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for the men and women of God who have gone before us and we've seen the outcome of their faith, then listen, I've got to get a hold of that in my life. So we have to speak the word of God. You got to speak despite how you feel. You're not going to feel like speaking the word. Why? Because, listen, we live in these flesh bodies. We're going to be distracted. We're going to be tired. We're going to be wore out. We'll have a long day. Every excuse will come to you why you can't speak the word. Well, you know, I had a long day and my mind is full of stuff from work and I just need to veg on the couch and just take some time. Oh, you know what? It's morning. It's early. I'm not fully functional yet. You know, I got to go take a shower and get ready before. And you know what? The day will get away from us and we will never spend time or effort into speaking the Word of God over our lives. You've got to take time, and as you get a hold of the Word of God and you find those seeds, you need to speak them out of your mouth and you need to sow your seed into your field, which is your life, which is your heart. Let's take a look at it in the book of Matthew. Keep your finger there in the book of Mark, chapter 4. And turn back to Matthew, chapter number 4. Talking about speaking despite how you feel. Matthew, chapter 4. We're going to take a look at the life of Jesus. Matthew, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Jesus has just been baptized. Here John baptizes him. He comes up out of the River Jordan. There the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. The heavens are rent, and an audible voice comes from heaven. God is speaking. He says, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." Now Jesus has just had this amazing, miraculous time. They've all had a God encounter, and now look at what happens in Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." You know, sometimes we wonder what God's doing in our lives. Sometimes we wonder, you know, God, why did you lead me down this path? What are you doing, God? But think about it for a second. Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. So here's Jesus. He's filled with the Spirit. He's come out of the Jordan. This miraculous thing takes place. The heavens are open. God is speaking audibly of his approval of his Son. And now he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse number 2, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry." That's a natural thing. I mean, think about it. If you fasted for one day, you'd be hungry. Here's Jesus after 40 days and 40 nights, and he's hungry. Remember, Jesus, yes, is all God, but he's also all man, and he came in the flesh and experienced life as we live it. So therefore, after a long fast, he's hungry. Very natural thing, but look at what happens in verse number 3. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.'" So what is he doing? The devil comes along and he knows the natural feelings and he plays off of Jesus' feelings. "If you are the Son of God." Well, there's no question. Jesus is the Son of God. But the devil is tempting him to do something. He's tempting him to get a natural result with supernatural means. And so here he says, "If you're the Son of God, you have the power to do this. Turn these stones into bread." You're hungry. You're hungry. What does Jesus do? Look at verse number 4. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.'" But look at this. "But by every word that God thinks about." Is that what your Bible says? Oh, okay. "By every word that God wrote down." No? What does it say? "But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What is that? That is the spoken word of God. That is that blade that protrudes forth from the mouth of Jesus Christ. "Man shall not live by bread alone." He says, "Devil, I am denying the flesh. I'm denying the way I feel. And I'm going to speak the word of God." He went to his seed bag. He found Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That is that sword. That is that blade. First, the blade. You've got to speak the word, church. Speak despite how you feel. I remember there was a time where I had gone to Bible college and I was a newlywed. My wife and I were young kids just going to Bible college, and we moved out to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, I'm a California boy, born and raised, and you know, I had the seasonal allergy thing when the winds came and all that, Santa Ana's and all that fun stuff. And you know, I never really thought about Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so here I am in Tulsa, and they have something in Tulsa, Oklahoma called ragweed. I didn't know about no ragweed. I didn't care about no ragweed. Never crossed my mind until I got to Tulsa and the fall hit. All of a sudden, my eyes are all watery. My nose is runny. I'm just having a horrible time. I can't sleep at night. And you know, I'm going to Bible college. The man of God is at Bible college, and he's got allergies. And I'm thinking, something's wrong here. You know, we're in this class talking about Christ as the healer, and he wants to heal you, and you got to get a hold of the Word of God for healing and speak the Word. And I remember there was a night that it just came to a climax, and I was laying in bed. I hadn't got any sleep. I'm tossing and turning. It felt like somebody took a butter knife and just jammed it right in between my eyes and just left it there. So I'm sitting there in this tremendous pain, and I was going, God, what's going on? I'm kind of bawling to God, you know, kind of like, oh, God, oh, poor me, the ragweed. And God says, either you believe it, son, or you don't. What are you going to do about it? And I said, well, I gotta do something about it. I gotta bring some sort of change. So I thought to myself, what is the last thing that my flesh wants to do right now? Because my flesh wants to roll over and go to sleep and just forget about all this. But I'm not getting any sleep, and God's asking me to do something. So I said, well, the last thing that I want to do right now is get up and work out. So I got up, and I started doing push-ups and sit-ups, and with every rep, every time I would do a sit-up or a push-up, I would say, by his stripes, I was healed. God sent forth his word, and he healed me. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. What was I doing? I was scattering the seed. I was sowing seed. First, the blade. The blade has to come out of your mouth. Did you know that night I didn't get completely healed right away, but I did go to bed and have a good night's sleep. And listen, I had tried everything. I remember I was at my work, and we worked at this big warehouse store, you know, and right there in the front of the cash registers, I asked one of my friends that went to Bible college to pray for me. Man, we had a Pentecostal Holy Ghost experience right there in the front of the store. He had his hand on my head. He was sweating. He was spitting. He was all red in the face, laughing in the spirit and everything else. I mean, we just had this big Holy Ghost time, made a scene, and it didn't do one bit of good. Now, I don't doubt his faith and his prayers, but it didn't do one bit of good until what? Until I started to speak the word of God. See, you've got to speak despite how you feel. Not going to feel like it. And you know what else? You're going to feel stupid doing it. Can we be real for a second? You are going to feel dumb. The reason why is because it's not a natural thing for you to speak the word of God. You're going to feel silly. You're going to have things on your heart and on your mind, and scriptures will be brought to your mind. And God says, I want you to speak that right now. I want you to sow that seed. Let the blade come forth. And you're going to be around people that aren't going to understand. But you've got to speak despite how you feel. Speak even though you're going to feel stupid. Listen, you're going to have to speak despite what you see in the natural. Remember, here I am in the middle of the night doing push-ups and sit-ups, speaking the word of God, and I didn't get instantly healed. It took time. But I continued to speak despite what I see. You know, the Bible says that unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it will never produce fruit. You are going to have to speak that word, and despite what you see, you may see the situation get worse. You may see the situation stay the same. You may see nothing. Why? Because the seed is going into the ground. It's disappearing from your sight. You're letting it come forth from your mouth. And first, the blade. You've got to speak the word. Remember that the sower in Mark chapter 4, verse number 27. Take a look at what happens in Mark chapter 4, verse 27. It says that as soon as he scatters seeds on the ground, look at this, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. What happens? He goes to sleep. He goes to bed. You don't see anything at night. But remember, in the world, they always say day and night, right? Notice the order is reversed in the scripture. It is night and day. When you speak the word, the difference is night and day. In the world, it goes from bad to worse. But when you speak the word, it goes from bad to good. When you speak the word, it goes from sick to healed. When you speak the word, it goes from lack to supply. It goes from poor to rich. It goes from foolish to wise. And it goes from lost to found. But you got to speak the word. Speak the word. Speak despite how you feel and speak despite what you see. Second lesson that we learn from the growing seed is, number one, first the blade. Number two is then the ear. Have faith in what you speak. Take a look with me again at verse number 28. It says, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Now, in the New King James Version, it says, then the head. Okay? In the old King James Version, I like the way it says it because it doesn't say then the head, it says then the ear. First the blade, then the ear. Now you've heard of an ear of corn, you've heard of that sort of a thing. It's that side part that comes off of the corn husk, and it contains all of this grain, all of the seed. So first comes the blade, then comes the ear. The issue here is your faith. You are not going to understand how this works any more than the sower in the parable does. He does not understand how he goes to bed and wakes up the next day and there's a blade coming up out of the ground. He does not understand how that happens. He didn't labor to make it happen. He didn't do anything except scatter the word. What does that mean? That means that the word itself is likened to a seed. The sower sows the word. So here you have a seed. If I came up here and I wanted to get an apple tree, what kind of seed would I sow? Apple seed, right? I'm glad that, 10 or 20 of you know that. Okay, play with me today. If I wanted to get carrots, what kind of seed would I sow? Carrot seed, right? If I had an acorn and I planted that acorn in the ground, what would sprout up? An acorn tree. No, an acorn tree. An oak tree, right? Why? Because everything that is needed to produce an oak tree is contained inside of that acorn. Are you getting a hold of this? So that means that if you need healing, you're not going to be confessing finance scriptures over your life, are you? No, you're going to go find the seeds that contain healing. You're going to be going to Isaiah 52 and 53. You're going to be going to the Gospels to find out about Jesus, healing. You're going to be going, you're going to Psalm 103:3. Why? Because you are finding those seeds and planting those seeds in your lives. If you need peace, you're going to be finding the scriptures that Jesus is our peace, that he gives us his peace. He leaves us his peace, not as the world gives, but he gives liberally. He is the Prince of Peace. Perfect peace have those whose mind is stayed on you. What are you doing? You are taking the specific scriptures, you're finding those containers, and everything that you need for your miracle and for your blessing is contained on the inside of those scriptures. Are you getting this? You say, Pastor Dan, I don't understand how that works. How can I speak something and it makes change? I don't know. No more than the sower knows in the word how the seed sprouts up, right? Well, I don't understand how I can speak scriptures about my kids and they'll change. I don't know either. First the grain, first the blade, then the ear. Remember last week we talked about Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Let's just put it up on the overhead for a second. Romans 10, 17, what does it say? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does that mean? That means that as you speak, you hear the word, and faith rises in your heart. Remember, this is not about your natural ears. Our deaf community is over here, and they are hearing the word through somebody signing. The issue is that they're hearing the word. You and I, when we speak the word of God, when we let it come off of our lips or when we let it come off of our hands, whatever we do, however we declare the word of God, that faith rises in our hearts because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. First the blade, then the ear. So as you scatter that seed, the blade goes forth and then faith rises in your heart. You've got to believe that God is moving on your behalf. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to be able to calculate it out. You won't be able to add up the facts and come to this conclusion. No, all you do is you declare the word of God for your situation, and then God goes into play, the sword comes out, and then the ear comes. Faith. Faith is the issue here. You've got to believe that God is moving on your behalf, that God is going to work it out, that God is doing something in the unseen realm. That underneath the earth, there is a seed that has gone forth from your mouth, and it is germinating, it is producing a root system, and it's going to come forth, and it's going to produce something in your life. You may not see results right away. Listen, when I started speaking those healing scriptures over myself, it took me about a month to get totally healed. And you might say, well, then the season changed. You're not really. No, I was healed. Because there was other people walking around like just a mess. And they said, didn't you have allergies? Oh, yeah, I did. I got healed. To this day, I got healed. The seasonal allergy things, it tries to come back, and I said, I got healed. I got my healing. It's produced something. By his stripes, I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. What am I doing? I'm letting that seed come forth from my mouth, believing it in faith. Final thing is, number one is first the blade. Number two, then the ear. Have faith in what you speak. Number three thing today is then the full grain. Then the full grain. What does that mean? That means receive the promise. This is the destination that we want to get to. Mark chapter 4, verse 29 says, "But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Look at what takes place. Here's a sower. He scatters seed, right? First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And right when he sees that the harvest has come, he sees that ripe grain, he puts in the sickle, and he receives the promise that he went for. He receives the produce of what he had sent forth that seed to get. Now, the man didn't know how it worked. Remember, he slept by night and rose by day. But he did know when to reap. Why? Because he was paying attention to the seed that he had sown. He didn't neglect it. He didn't forget about it. He was watchful. He was waiting. And at the right moment, here comes that ripe harvest, and he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. That word ripens there, if you look up the real meaning, I got so excited when I saw this, because that word ripens means it will be delivered up to you. It will be brought to you. What does that mean? That means that when you speak the word, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear, God will deliver the promise to you. See, sometimes we think we got to go and we got to do all this stuff, and God's got these rules and regulations, and oh, I messed up, therefore I'm not going to get the promise. No, did you sow your seed? Do you believe in faith that you're going to receive it? Then God will deliver on his promise. Why? He's looking after his word to perform it. The issue is faith. You got to stay in faith. Don't neglect the seed. Don't ignore the seed. Don't get apathetic about the seed. Don't be discouraged when you don't see results right away. There is seed, time, and harvest, the Bible says in the book of Genesis. We scatter seed, but then we forget about time. There are seasons, there are times, and in the right season, in the right conditions, the fruit is produced. God knows the times and the seasons in your life. And so if you're believing God for something, scatter your seed, speak it out loud off of your mouth, believe God for the promise, know that he's working on your behalf, and then God will deliver the promise to you. We don't know how it works. We don't understand it. We can't calculate it out, but it works. Why? Because God is the one who does it. Now, I'm going to show you this in the Word. You're there in Mark chapter 4, but turn with me to the Mark chapter 11, the book of Mark chapter 11. I'm going to show you this process in the Word. Okay, I'm not just making this up, not just trying to figure this out off of one parable. No, there are multiple witnesses in the Bible that this is how this happens. I'm going to show you them. Mark chapter 11, we're going to take a look at verse 23 and 24. Let me set the stage for you. Jesus and his disciples are going into Jerusalem. As they go into Jerusalem, Jesus sees this fig tree. It's got leaves all over it. Now, a fig tree produces leaves first, then fruit. Okay? I'm sorry, fruit first, then leaves. Okay? The fruit comes first in a fig tree. So Jesus sees a leafy green fig tree and expects to find fruit on the tree, even though it's not the season, because there's already leaves. So leaves come second, fruit comes first. So therefore, if it has leaves, it has fruit. He goes up and he doesn't find any fruit on the tree. Starts looking around, doesn't see anything. And he curses the fig tree. He says, "May you never produce fruit again." And all of his disciples hear him say this. And so they watch, they look at the tree, nothing happens. They go their way. The next time they come by that tree, you know what happens? The fig tree is withered from the ground up. The roots are withered up, and all the way up into the tree is completely withered. The disciples are shocked and they say, "Jesus, look at the fig tree which you cursed. It's withered from the roots up." And he says, "Have faith in God." And then take a look at what he says. Mark chapter 11, verse number 23. He says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever," everybody say whoever. Does that mean you? Oh, yes, it does. That means you. That means me. That means whoever. Look at this. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain." Don't you think it's kind of silly, somebody walking up to Big Bear over here and starts speaking to the mountain? Sounds foolish, doesn't it? Sounds a little silly. They're probably going to feel a little weird doing that. But he says, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart," what is that? Faith. "But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." What does that mean? That means that God will deliver the promise to him. Eventually that mountain will be removed and cast into the sea. Now, if that wasn't enough, take a look at verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. Everybody say, ask and pray. What do you do when you ask and pray? You speak, right? Sometimes we think that prayer is just asking God for things. But did you know that when you ask and pray, that you are to speak the word of God? What are you doing? You are rehearsing covenant with God. You are bringing back up the word of God to God. God, this is your word. You said this, God. And God, this is what I want in my life. God, I need healing. By your stripes, I was healed. God, I need financial provision. And you are my God. And you shall supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God, I need my kids to be strong in the ways of the Lord. My kids are raised up in the ways of the Lord. And they shall not depart from them when they grow old. What are you doing? You are scattering your seed. You are sowing your seed. So, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, those seeds that you scatter, the word of the Lord coming forth from your mouth, first the blade, believe that you receive them, then the ear, there's faith, believe it, and finally the full grain in the ear, and you will have them. Did you see it? Did you see it? First the blade, ask and pray, then the ear, believe that you receive, then the full grain in the ear, and you will have them. God will deliver the promise to you. You say, well, when am I going to have them, Pastor? I want it now. Of course you do. We all do. We all want it. We all want it now. We want it our way. We want it quick. I mean, we've been conditioned to that. But God says, pay attention to the seed. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Be patient, child. I'm going to deliver the promise to you at the right time, in the right season, in the right way. You just pay attention. Be ready for your harvest. It's coming. It's coming. Remember, the sower slept. The sower rested in faith, believing that the seed was going to produce something. And when he rose by day, he paid attention to the seed and the harvest came. One more scripture. You guys okay? Last scripture today, Galatians chapter number 6. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Chapter number 6. Very familiar verse when it comes to sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Did you see it in there? Let's take a look at it. Let us not grow weary while doing good. What is that good that you're doing? You're sowing the seed. For in due season we shall reap. There's the delivery process. If we do not lose heart, there's your faith. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Maybe you've been believing God for something. Maybe you've even spoke the word of God over it, and you said, I tried that, Pastor, it didn't work. Listen, let us not grow weary while doing good. There's a season coming, church. There is seed, time, and harvest. Be patient, be watchful, be waiting, because God will deliver the promise of God to you if you speak the word. Scatter your seed. Three things we learned today from the growing seed. Number one is first the blade. Speak the word, church. Second thing we learned is then the ear. Have faith in what you speak. Third thing we learn is then the full grain in the ear, receive the promise. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 2 said, for if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, how much more when you speak the word of God over your life and the Spirit of God backs it and God delivers the promise to you. If you got something from the word of the Lord today, come on, give him a great big praise. Hallelujah. Good, good, good.